And when you do, let them know you heard the broadcast here on WTRJ The Truth. John MacArthur is also brought to you in part by Ginn and Paetro, PA, a full-service law firm located in St. Augustine, serving all of Northeast Florida. They frequently service clients in the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law. The firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. I pray that the broadcast and the information that we deliver via the issues that we discuss are beneficial and a blessing, a challenge, and incentive for you to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, be the salt and light that the Lord has called us to be. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book, the Bible. It's amazing to me how many denominations today have left the fundamentals of the Word of God, have left the B-I-B-L-E as the basics of all that's preached, taught, and promulgated in that particular or those particular denominations. As we face the issues and look at it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, we find the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, where Jesus makes this statement, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus himself says, "I am truth." John 17:17. Gives us a direct statement about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Have you ever wondered why we are wandering in the darkness, it seems, in the nation today? Have you ever wondered why it seems that we are in the wilderness and cannot get to light? I believe personally that it's because we've left off the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. When I say we, I'm talking about the churches, the pastors, the Christian organizations, religious ministries across the nation today. I believe we have gone into the realm of what I call psychobabble, voodoo theology, leaving off the fundamentals of the faith. What does the Bible say? That's the first, foremost, and the final argument that I have in relationship to any preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It is very, very clear. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and following, the Apostle Paul said to the believers at Galatia, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," a different gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe so many times, even as Christians, pastors, churches, denominations, we'll look at that and say, well, that was back then. But I fully believe that we have left the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Why do I make such a dogmatic statement? Simply because I believe that what we're finding in our churches and our pulpits with the woke culture and the liberal theology being taught and the embracing of the world's beliefs rather than the Word of God, I believe it's as a direct result of another gospel, a different gospel. In Galatians, also in the third chapter, it is very, very clear the Apostle Paul asked the serious question, who, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Paul says to the Galatians, you have started embracing a different gospel, a totally different gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to remind them, they have been bewitched, they have been deceived, led astray. And I believe that's what we want to talk about today, as we're talking about compromising the gospel, compromising the gospel. I believe we need to get back to the fundamentals of truth. It was Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made this statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, I know there are a lot of folks that may be listening, some that may know others that have deviated from the truth, despise you because you stand for the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing more and more today of those that's willing to compromise the gospel, compromise the truth, in order to be embraced by, approved by, recognized by the world. In fact, with the article that I have read and touch on each and every day, entitled, Most Younger Americans Say There's No Absolute Truth, the article opens with, Webster's Dictionary says, truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being, the case of fact. Further in the article, it says, the latest survey shows that 55% of the Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth, and that's truth. A deviation from truth is a half-truth. And you've heard me say many times a half-truth is a whole lie. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the culture in which we're living in has so devolved, so decayed, so corrupted that today our churches, our pulpits, many multitudes of Christians are today being inundated by half-truth, deceptive lies. And we're seeing that through our kids in the prestigious universities, colleges and universities across America, that's teaching another truth, another gospel, even our religious schools. We're going to talk about that today. I am bowled over, if I can say that, use that term. I'm saddened to see. I knew that we've had a total declension in the past 20, 30 years in relationship to teaching truth in our colleges, universities, Christian religious schools. But I didn't realize it had been so pervasive as I'm finding now. Then we can answer the question, why is it that so many of our millennials reject the truth of the Word of God? Why is it that so many of our millennials will embrace the Sodomite lifestyle? We're going to talk about that in depth today. And lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I go to a fundamental statement about truth. And I find it in Jan Hus, a 15th century theologian and church reformer. Now listen, Hus and I would disagree on a number of doctrinal issues. But the statement he made about truth is factual and applicable today. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. that we seek the truth, to listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it each and every day. Defend it, ladies and gentlemen, even to death. I believe we're rapidly approaching the time, though multitudes do not see it. Many have the opportunity and right to say, I disagree. But I think we're going to watch on a universal basis where truth will be shut down. Truth will be where you stand for truth. You'll risk your life to stand for it. We're going to talk about some of those events in the scripture today where some of the men of yesteryear stood for truth, thrown in the lion's den, were literally thrown into the fiery furnace, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at the Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full line of equipment that you're looking for the homeowner as well as the professional landscaper lawn care serviceman. They're located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road. You might say, how do I find that? Where is that? That's at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Oh Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I'm going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion. We'd love to hear from you today. Are you concerned about the compromising of the gospel? Do you know of a church that's compromising the gospel? Do you know Christians today that's compromising the gospel, embracing the woke world rather than the word of God? Are you familiar with that? Have you heard of that? Have you simply embraced it yourself? Listen, I know a number of grandparents, I've seen them over and over and over again, that will tell me, well, the church I go to, they've got the rock and roll music. They don't have anything about the gospel. It is a social gospel at the very least. But my grandkids go there. They want me to go with them, so I go with them because of it. Listen, I've said for many, many years now that grandparents, if you're saved, parents, if you're saved, need to be the leader and not the grandkids, not the granddaughters, the grandsons, where you've got perhaps a liberal socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party granddaughter or grandson, and you're going to follow what they say rather than what the Word of God says. I find it absolutely inauthentic for a person to say, I'm saved, and I'm going to allow that culture, that mindset, tell me, direct me, encourage me as to where I need to go to church and where I need to study the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever wondered just what happened to the Christian colleges, the Christian churches, and the denominational organizations, religious organizations? Have you ever asked the question, why are churches and Christians not standing for truth of the Word of God? Have you ever questioned just why are so many denominational pastors and so-called Christians now embracing the woke culture and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda? Perhaps you've witnessed your own church, your own denomination, as they have watered down the biblical message, watered down the truth of the gospel, embracing the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. I've said so many times, if you're out of state, out of town, and I've had those that have asked the question, some have called and said, you know, I live in so-and-so city, do you recommend a church? My recommendation is to analyze the church's doctrinal statement. Overwhelming majority of churches today do not post online on their website a doctrinal statement. So a person does not know what they're getting. When you look at the church signs anymore, the church names, their indescript names, you do not know what's behind the door. My wife and I have talked about it a number of times. When you're traveling and you see the golden arches, you know what they serve. When you see the Burger King, you know what they serve. when you see the Cracker Barrel sign, you know what's served. But if you see a sign that just says restaurant, you don't know what in the world's behind the doors. You don't know what they're serving. You don't know if the food will kill you or not. That's true also when it comes to churches today. We need to understand what pastors believe, what pastors are saying, what the church believes, what are their doctrinal beliefs, what do they embrace from the Scripture. Are they teaching and preaching the LGBTQ agenda? Are they embracing the sodomite lifestyle and the woke culture, allowing another gospel, a different gospel? I find it strange, ladies and gentlemen, to stand for truth of the Word of God. Many are afraid to do so. They're afraid they may hurt someone's feelings. Many pastors today are afraid they might hurt a Democrat's feelings that may be in their church or congregation. I am concerned today, ladies and gentlemen, with the compromising of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line to all of these questions and all of the summary statements that I've given is the answer is quite simple. It is called compromise. Compromising the definitive truth of the Word of God, compromising what the Scripture says. So you might ask the question, and I think it's fitting at this juncture, what is compromise? What does compromise mean? What is compromise to you? Let me just give you two very succinct dictionary interpretations or statements. Compromise: to make concession or accommodation for someone that does not agree with certain standards that you have believed. Secondly, to embrace things, rules, or standards to appease someone that does not hold these same standards, rules, or values as you do. It is very clear, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says in Romans, the 12th chapter, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect, mature will of God." It is the need today, I believe more than ever before in the history of the New Testament church, to reject compromise, to stand on the truth. Listen, most pastors look at it on the basis, what do I need to do to modify the message? What do I need to modify the protocol, the process, the procedure to deliver the message? What do I need to do to enlarge the congregation? Listen, you won't find any of those guidelines in the Scripture. The Scripture is very, very simple, simplistic, and to the point. It is simply preach the Word. That's what the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, to preach the Word. That is the Word of God, without compromise, to reprove and to reject anything that is false, phony, and compromise. And yet we find that not the general thought today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, what does the Bible say about compromise? To compromise is to make concession and accommodation. Compromise is something that the Bible totally rejects. What makes compromise, this writer says, what makes compromise so dangerous is the subtle way that it approaches us. Compromise, by definition, doesn't involve a whole capitulation to worldly ways or ideals. Rather, it accommodates them. Most of us would recoil at the thought of tossing Jesus aside and embracing an idol, but compromise never asks us to do that. Compromise says that we can have the idol and keep Jesus too. There's room, this writer says, on the shelf for one more object of worship, right? And what's the harm? Since we all still love Jesus anyway. Never will forget, many years ago, probably 60-plus years ago, and if I'm not careful, I'll tell my age, but I'm still under 100. But I visited my mother, and she had a college student that was staying with her at the time from out of the country, going to the local community college. And I got to talk with her about the Lord Jesus and gave the plan of salvation, asked her to invite Jesus into her heart. She said, "I accept your Jesus if I don't have to give up my Buddha. I accept your Jesus if I don't have to give up my Buddha." the number of people today that do not verbalize it in that fashion, but the mindset is, I'll accept Jesus if I can hold on to my beliefs, my culture, my compromise, what I believe in other things. This writer goes on to say, there should be no compromise over the values and the standards that stem from the values of the Scripture. Here are some of the examples of things to which we should not compromise. Number one, the essentials of the Christian faith, including all of the gospel and the faithful preaching of the Word. Secondly, the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ. Third, personal convictions on the Scripture. Four, moral issues as defined in the Scripture. The writer then continues, we must be careful to live out our biblical beliefs. It is pointless to know and speak up for truth if we do not also act on that truth in a way which our lives should be lived. Resisting compromise is not up to our own strength, but rather God has equipped us and He is with us, encouraging us. Continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to do His will and to act in order to fulfill His good pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think compromise is all right in the world today? You think compromise is already in the Scripture today? You think we need to, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, that we need to compromise our values, biblically speaking, our biblical values? Should we compromise them in order to appease the world that's around us? Should we compromise them in order to appease those that will stand against us? Should we compromise truth? Should we compromise morals and ethics and values simply to appease others? The Bible is very, very clear that we're not to compromise the world. Listen, any compromise of the truth, the Word of God, is not good. Give you a good example. Daniel would not compromise by eating from the king's table. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 through 14. Daniel could have just simply said, I need to go along to get along. Daniel could have said, well, it's not going to hurt me. After all, I can just eat the king's meat, even though I know that it's been offered to idols, and those are the fragments, the residual of what the idols had not been offered. So therefore, it's okay. That's the way the world works today for Christians, for conservatives, and for patriots. The mindset is we can compromise. That's what's happening in D.C. today. That's what's taking place in the House and the Senate today. That's what's taking place with so many of our city councilmen, our city leaders, our mayors and governors across the nation. That's what's taking place in the Beltway of Washington, is that of compromise. In fact, have you ever heard the term between the Democrats and the Republicans say, well, I'm just going to reach across the aisle? That is a phrase born out of the understanding of the word compromise. Compromise. The three Hebrew young men would not compromise by bowing before the false god. Daniel, the third chapter, not but 30 verses, chapter 3, verses 1 through 30. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9, the Bible is very, very clear what God gave to Joshua as a definitive direction. In chapter 1, verse 7 of Joshua, only be thou strong and of good courage, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Listen to what God says. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest be successful. The word is prosper. Uhodas. Without whithersoever thou goest, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, today, compromise of the gospel, compromise of morals, ethics, and values is what the world is trying to stress, promulgate, and push on Christians today. And the sad thing is so many Christians are obeying it, bending it, bowing to it. Now listen very carefully. Perhaps you say, what causes this compromise? Why is it that pastors and churches or all denominational distinctives continue to compromise? Oh, yes, I forgot. It's called a 501c3, the IRS rule and regulation about what a church can do, what a church cannot do. Listen, down through the years, 50, 60 years now, pastors have used the excuse, well, if I preach the Bible, it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. If I preach about the wicked world in which we're living and point out in a political sense those that are civil servants, those that have been elected to office, and point out their faults, their frailties, their sins, and their falling, if I point those out, why, I will have disobeyed the law. The 501c3 IRS rule and regulation has said, ladies and gentlemen, the so-called IRS rule that supposedly prevents pastors from standing on the truth of the gospel. Now, perhaps you're listening today, you're a conservative, you're a patriot, you're a Christian, and you say, well, my pastor doesn't preach on political things. My pastor doesn't take a stand on moral and ethical issues. My pastor doesn't speak out against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. My pastor doesn't preach against the moral sins like homosexual marriages, transgenderism, and abortion, murder by way of abortion. My pastor doesn't do that. Have you ever asked him the question why? Have you ever wondered why? And for all of these years now, since 1954, pastors have been petrified, for the most part, to preach the truth of the Word of God. Because the Lyndon Baines Johnson, as senator in 1954, with the transportation bill, he had a rider attached to the bill that made it supposedly illegal, according to the IRS rules, for a preacher to talk about political issues from the pulpit. There's never been a church prosecuted on that basis. There's never been a church fined on that basis. Because if that ever took place, they, the government, knew that it would work its way through the courts, and the courts would rule that it's the religious liberty and the freedom of speech standing in that pulpit for a preacher or a Christian to talk about them. But for too many years now, the mindset's been, you can talk about Jesus, you can sing the songs of yesteryear, as long as you do all of that inside the church. If you do it outside the church, if you do it in the public arena, if you do it where you can be heard, then you are breaking the law because of the 501c3. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you think that that is legitimate? Is it legitimate? Should pastors be silenced? Should Christians close their minds and their eyes to a decaying, dying society and say nothing? Or is it the responsibility of the Christian, the responsibility of the pastor, the responsibility of the denominational leadership, the religious leadership, if you want to call it that, is it the responsibility to lead in the right direction and to speak truth without admixture, speak truth without fear or favor? I think so. I think that's what the gospel teaches us. That's what the Word of God stands on. But the political mindset has been, the 501c3 says no. Listen, that amendment, Johnson Amendment, as it was called in 1954, was changed, listen to me carefully, was changed March of 2017, when Donald Trump, as the 45th president, with executive order, canceled the 501c3 rule in the IRS. Most never even promulgated that on the news. Most never even talked about that. Most, perhaps you're listening today, and you didn't know that. But literally, it has not been operable. It's never been enforced. It's not been operable since March of 2017 because of the executive order of Donald J. Trump. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the IRS has changed its changed its rules and its regulations. Headline, IRS says churches can endorse political candidates without losing their tax-exempt status. This article reads in part, by the way, it's dated July the 8th, 2025. The IRS's new federal court filing says that churches can endorse political candidates to their congregations without risking the loss of the tax-exempt status. The move ends 70-year interpretation of the U.S. tax code, whose Johnson Amendment has barred certain nonprofit groups, including churches, from endorsing political candidates without putting their tax-exempt status in jeopardy. The IRS said in the new federal court filing that churches can endorse political candidates to their congregation without risking the loss of the tax-exempt status. The move upends that 70-year-old interpretation, including churches that they can still speak the truth now without fear. President Donald J. Trump has long called the Johnson Amendment to be repealed. Listen to this reading. When a house of worship is in good faith speaks to its congregation through its customary channels of communication on matters of faith and connection,